I want to take a moment before I get started to just say next Sunday morning, Eric and Hannah are actually here with us this morning, and we're thankful for that. Eric and Hannah Walker, we know them from the picture, and many of you know them. I've never met them until today, but I see the picture on the postcard that we have hanging on our refrigerator and different things like that. We're glad to have them here with us today, but they're going to be here next Sunday during a special time. They're going to be kind of talking to us about the work that they do on the mission field, and then we are going to be taking an offering for them to help support that work. So we look forward to having them with us next week. If you get a chance to speak with them today while they're here, we are looking forward to what they have to share with us next Sunday. So be prepared for that as well. I want to look at a couple of different passages of Scripture this morning. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 24, and then we're going to jump over to John chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles and would like to kind of follow along with what's going on this morning, I said Advent is that time of year where we are anticipating something. We live in anticipation. Advent literally means waiting on something to happen. And as we think about Christmas, obviously the Advent season leads up to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, his first coming, the first time he came to this earth. And we talk about his life, and we talk about his birth, and we celebrate that every year for Christmas. And that's what Advent talks about in the original setting. Today, I want us to think about it in a little different way. I've looked back. I don't think I've ever preached this type of a message for Advent, but I want us to think about the fact that Jesus is coming back. We celebrate Christmas. We think about Christmas from the standpoint of celebrating his birth, and that's an incredible thing. We love that. It gives us a time to be together and remember and celebrate all the holiday traditions. But the most important thing is recognizing who Jesus is and why he came. The very Son of God, our Messiah, came and was born of a virgin and came and lived on this earth among his people. But we have something else to look forward to, and I want us to think about the idea of this hope that we have in Christ. We have the presence of Jesus living with us through the Holy Spirit. If we're born again and Spirit-filled, we have the presence of Christ, his Spirit, living within us. So he's with us each and every step of the way in spirit, but there's one day when he's going to make his return, if we believe the Bible, and he's going to come back in a physical sense, in a physical form, and he's going to gather up his church and those who believe in him, and we're going to be taken to be with him for all eternity. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I want us to think about this morning. I've heard it all my life. If you've grown up in the church, you've heard it all your life too. I've heard people say all my life that Jesus is coming again. I've heard preachers say that the return of Christ can't be far off. I've even heard of those who tried to predict the exact date and time that this event would occur. If you remember, there have been several different points in time when a group of religious people would gather in a certain place because they were certain that this was the day, this appointed time was when Jesus would return. They'd sell all their possessions and they'd go meet together and they'd sit there and wait. Obviously to no avail, because he has not made his return yet. You see, those dates have come and gone. The prediction remains unfulfilled. And I've heard the cynic who says, I've been hearing this all my life and it hasn't happened yet. Why should I believe it now? That's a good question. So I want us to think about why we should believe that Jesus is still coming back, even though we've heard it for such a long time and we haven't experienced it yet. I want us to think about some scriptural answers for that question. Why should I believe? Should I believe that Jesus is coming back, and why? Well, I want us to read some scripture here. We're going to Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 30. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this: At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be gathered in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken and the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Father, I just ask your blessing on your word. May you use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Why? Why should we believe? Why should we put any stock in this age-old teaching and tradition that Jesus is coming back sometime? We talked about the second coming. What does it mean? The first reason we should believe in it is this: because the second coming is a scriptural certainty. It is a scriptural certainty. Let me ask you this. Why should I believe that Jesus is coming back again? Because this book tells me he is. Because the book tells me he is. Let's look at some of that. The angels proclaimed at various points in time that Jesus would come back. Look, in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, we see the record of the ascension. It was that moment when Jesus was taken from this world back into heaven after his resurrection. The disciples are all there. They're standing on the side of the mountain. They're witnessing this event. And they stand there looking into the sky. It says they're watching intently. They're watching intently, trying to see. They're watching Jesus up until the very last moment when they can't see him anymore. Have you ever done that? When a family member has been home visiting for a while or something and they're leaving to go back to wherever they live now. Jordan, Emily and Jordan have both been home for Thanksgiving. Jordan was here and already gone and back to Kansas City. And there are times when you stop and you look and you think, man, I'm just going to watch for as long as I can until I can't see him anymore. The disciples are there on the Mount of Ascension with Jesus. And as he goes up into the clouds, it says they were looking intently and they just kept watching and they just kept staring at the sky as Jesus left. But then it says, suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And they asked the disciples this question: Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him going into heaven. What were the angels telling the disciples? Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't fear. Jesus isn't gone forever. He's just gone for a little while. He's coming back one day. He's coming back. So the angels proclaimed it. In the verses we just read in John chapter 14, we see that Jesus promised it. He said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going away, but the reason I'm going away is to prepare a place. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And once I have that place prepared, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to be with me so that you can be where I am, so that we can be together. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for us. And once the time has come, he's coming back to get us. Why? Because he wants to be with us. He wants us to be together in fellowship, in worship, in relationship. I'm going to prepare that place, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you so that you can be where I am. He tells them he's going away. He tells them why he's going away. And he tells us that he's coming again when the time is right. What an incredible promise. What an incredible hope to look forward to. Is there anyone here besides me that sometimes looks around us and the things going on around the world and kind of quote what John says in Revelation, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." Don't know how much more of this we can take. If you're a Star Trek junkie, it's the old beam me up, Scotty. Sometimes we just feel that way, don't we? So I don't know why. He just keeps waiting, but can't wait for that day. It's a scriptural certainty. Those are just a couple of instances that we find in this book, in this Bible, that tell us that Jesus is coming back, and we need to pay attention to it. Because if we believe his word is true, we need to be looking forward to that day, that promise, that hope. The second thing I want us to understand about Jesus' second coming is this. It's a heavenly mystery. The second coming is a heavenly mystery. What do I mean by that? We don't know when it's going to happen. And that's by design. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's a mystery to his followers. We don't know when he's coming back. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus tells his followers that it's not for them to know the times and seasons of such events. His disciples asked him point blank right there in Acts chapter 1, "So at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this when all this is going to happen?" It's not for you to know about all those things. You just need to be ready. We just need to be ready. See, it's a mystery. We as his followers don't know when it's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24 tells us, just be ready because we don't know the time or the day when our Lord will return. It's a mystery to the angels. They don't know when he's coming back. It's a mystery to Jesus himself. Look what he says again in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24. "No one knows about that day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son." He says, I don't even know when I'm coming back. But my Heavenly Father does. Only the Father knows when this event will take place. But he tells us, be on guard. Be alert. You don't know when that time will come. Be on guard. Be alert. You don't know when that time will come. Let me just ask us a question here for a moment. We're all geared up for Christmas. We're getting geared up for Christmas. We're all anticipating that. We have our Christmas list made. We have our family plans made. We basically know who's coming home or if we're going somewhere. We're kind of getting all those things in order, aren't we? We're preparing for that day. Let me ask you this. Are we prepared for the day that Jesus comes back? If he came back today, would we be prepared for it? If he came back while we were sitting in this building, would we be ready for it? You see, the Heavenly Father is going to determine when this happens. He determines when it happens chronologically, the physical day and time. He's going to determine that. We have all these theologians and all these smart people talking about debating whether it's going to be before the tribulation, during the great tribulation, after the great tribulation. And all these kinds of different theological concepts and ideas going on. Here's what I believe. It doesn't matter whether it's before the tribulation, during the tribulation, or after the tribulation. All that really matters is I have to be prepared. We get so worried about details, and we get so worried about all the different debates and stuff that go on in the religious world, we can be lost in all the minutiae of it and miss it. You know, that's one of the tragedies. One of the tragedies of the birth of Christ, the first coming of our Messiah, there were so many people who just missed it. Because we were looking in all the wrong places. We were looking for all the wrong things. We were looking for all the wrong people. We weren't paying attention to the signs. And it didn't happen the way I thought it should happen, so I just missed it. I don't want to miss it. And I don't want any of you to miss it. As a pastor of this church, I don't want anybody to miss it. I want us to all be ready. What we do know is that when the time is right, the Heavenly Father is going to put into motion a chain of events that's going to be unstoppable. That chain of events is going to be unmistakable, and we're not going to be able to avoid it. He's going to signal to the angel Gabriel to blow that trumpet announcing the event. And then he's going to tell Jesus it's time to get up from his throne at the Father's right hand and step out onto the clouds and make his appearance. And when all of this begins to happen, then we're going to see the second coming of Christ. All the angels in heaven are anticipating this event. Jesus is anticipating this event. They all stand at the ready, waiting for the Heavenly Father. All he has to do is give the signal and say it's time. Second coming is going to be an undeniable reality. You know what? People have, and people still do. Many deny the truth about the first coming of Jesus. We have those who deny the virgin birth. We have those who deny his sinful life. We have those who deny that Jesus was any kind of divine being or God. Oh, there are a lot of people who think he was just a nice guy. He was, he could do some different things that other people couldn't do, but he's just a little extra special. But they deny who he really was. They deny his authority. We have those who deny his identity as the very Son of God. They deny the power of his blood to forgive and cleanse us of sin. And they even deny and question, some of them question his resurrection from the dead. You see, Jesus' birth happened during a very busy time, and very few people even noticed it other than those who were chosen by God to witness it. He was born in obscurity. He came in the form of humanity. He lived in poverty and demonstrated humility. Many denied that this Jesus could ever be the Savior of the world because we're waiting for this great and mighty, powerful military king to be our Savior. Who would have ever thought it could have been a baby born in a manger? See, the next time Jesus comes, it's all going to be different. You see, the next time he comes, the chain of events that we spoke about just a few moments ago, we're going to make it undeniable. When he comes again, he's not going to come in obscurity. He's going to come with power and authority. When he comes again, he's not going to come in the form of humanity. He's going to come in the form of majesty. He will not come in poverty, but he will come as royalty. He will show up as the king that he really is. See, there will be no mistaking or denying his identity. Why do I say it's going to be an undeniable reality? Because when the eastern sky opens, everyone is going to see Jesus descending through the clouds as he returns to this world. His coming is going to be so visible and recognizable by everyone, sinner and saint alike. The foolishness of the atheist who says in his heart, there is no God, is going to be on full display. The uncertainty of the agnostic is going to be wiped away. It's going to be such a convincing event that every knee, it says, is going to bow in heaven and on earth. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But will it be too late? Will we recognize that? Will we make a decision to accept him as our Savior before that time? So here's the last thing I want us to think about this morning. The second coming is going to begin an unchangeable eternity. The second coming is going to be the starting. It's the beginning of that unchangeable eternity. His return is going to mark the end of time as we know it. His return is going to mark the end of time as we know it. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be a time of judgment. When judgment occurs, our eternal fate is sealed. There's nothing we can do about it after that. When he comes back, it's going to be a time of joy and celebration for those who have served and followed him faithfully. It's going to be a time of great sadness and sorrow for those who have rejected Christ and refused to follow him. See, I want us to understand, I don't think, I fear that in our society today, there are far too many people who think this is all smoke and mirrors and fun and games. There are far too many people who believe, well, it's okay if some people want to believe about Jesus and about God, but you know what? I just don't have time for it. It's not really that important. It's not real. My fear is that in our society, there are way too many people who just think we can just take it or leave it and everything's all going to work out in the end. I don't find it. I don't find it in Scripture. What I find in Scripture is that when Jesus comes back, he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. He's going to separate those who have been faithful to him and those who have not. He's going to separate those who have accepted him and confessed him as their Lord and Savior and those who haven't. And the ones who have put their faith in him as their Savior are going to spend eternity with him in heaven, wherever that is and whatever it looks like. But those who have rejected him are going to spend eternity in hell, wherever that is and whatever that looks like. But here's basically what it means. Here's the worst part of it. Hell simply means I spend eternity without God and without the hope of ever finding God again. I'm kind of beyond the point of caring about where it is or what it looks like. What I know is this. At the end of my life, whenever that is, whether he comes in life or whether he comes in death, at the end of my life, there's a day when I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to give an account for my life, and he's either going to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, well done, or he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's not my opinion, that's Scripture. And it's for all eternity. You can't change it. Once that judgment is made, we cannot change it. Which category? If Jesus came back right now, if Jesus came back 5 minutes ago, which category would you find yourself in? Now let me ask this. Here's another question so many people have. Why? Why has God waited so long? Why has God waited so long to send Jesus back? Why has he delayed in sending the bridegroom back to receive the bride, the church? Why does he continue to allow all this evil to go on? Why doesn't he just come get his people? Why is it that he tarries? Why is it that he waits? Here's why. I believe it's because of grace. And I believe it's because of mercy. I believe it's because of his love. You see, God knows not everyone's going to be saved. But he's also a God of such love and grace and mercy. He's waiting as long as he possibly can so that everyone who will be saved will be saved. He's waiting to send Jesus back to give us every opportunity we can possibly have to make that choice. I believe it's because of his patience and mercy, his desire to see as many people saved as possible. But you know what? One day God's going to look down and say, it's time, enough is enough. Enough is enough. It's not wise to try the patience of God. It's not wise to take advantage of his grace. It's not wise to delay, to put off our salvation. It's not wise to take a chance on having another chance. Hey, I've been a teenager. See, I've grown up knowing what is right and what is wrong. I've grown up going to church and stuff, and I've stood in the sanctuary during an altar call when the Spirit was convicting my heart of sin, and I just kept saying, not today, not today. I'll have another chance. I'll have another opportunity. Fortunately, I did. And I'm so glad for a God who gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But the moment we start taking advantage of that and taking for granted that there's going to be another opportunity, it's a chance we're taking, and we've got to decide whether it's worth the risk. You see, here's the beautiful thing about it. Here's the most important thing we need to understand today. Today is your opportunity. What better way to face Christmas? What better way to finish preparation for Christmas, the birth of Christ, than making this your spiritual birthday? What better way to get ready to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas than to make this the day that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? I'm giving you that opportunity. Not me. God's giving you that opportunity. The Holy Spirit's giving you that opportunity right now. So I just want to ask you, close your eyes. Bow your heads. Only you know. You know whether you've ever made that decision. You know whether you're a Christian or not. You know whether you've asked forgiveness of your sins and whether you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you're not a Christian, if you have not made that decision, let me ask you this. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You see, our ultimate hope is in that day when Jesus comes back, when Jesus makes his return and he calls us to go home with him, and he gathers us all together and he takes us to be his bride. What are you waiting for? Don't you want to be a part of that day? I can choose eternal life with Christ, or I can choose eternity without God. Those are the two choices I have. Which one will you make? If you're here this morning, you'd like to come pray, I invite you to come and just stand here at this, stand or kneel at this altar. It's too important a decision to put off any longer. What will your choice be? Father, I just ask you to search our hearts in this moment. Lord, if there's someone here today who does not know you, may this be the day. May this be the day. That they can find hope and forgiveness and new life in you. What an incredible Christmas gift that would be. So, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would minister and speak and work in and through this building, this congregation, the hearts of these people this morning. And may someone walk out of here a new person, a new creation in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service by singing another song together. Kind of ties this all together. If you want to follow along in your hymnal, it's number 157. 157, it says, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus." That is our hope. That's what Advent is all about, anticipating His coming. And today we anticipate together that time that He will come again. Thank you for being here. Brother Brent Hooley, would you close us in prayer this morning?